Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Kind, the Most Merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin the program in the name of Allah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. So we begin taking the name of Allah, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sending salutations upon the best of creation, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's another Thursday and another wonderful opportunity to connect with you, our listeners, and to share with you as together we continue this journey, this lifelong journey of seeking to become better and more practicing believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten us. May He expand our hearts and bosoms and allow for us to love Islam more deeply and to live it and make it our lifestyle, inshallah. My name is Rehan Omar, and a very warm welcome to the program today, where we'll be discussing two main topics. The one, of course, is with our main theme here at Radio Islam, and it's all about the Hajj itself. So remember, you can stay in touch with us, with our team, and my team members and colleagues, with the hashtag RIHajj2015. That's where we update the latest programs dealing with Hajj, where we also share features, competition details, and beautiful updates from our colleagues that share with you some interesting facts about Hajj. One of the recent ones on our Radio Islam account is a rare picture of Mecca from approximately 62 years ago, subhanAllah. So you can check that out with the hashtag RIHajj2015, and you can just visit our Radio Islam official Twitter account, Radio Islam. On the program today, sharing with you more in the spirit of Hajj itself, I look forward to sharing with you how we should be spending the days of the Hijjah. And that's a question many of you sent through to me. So I've taken from Quran and from Hadith, allowing us to take deep benefit and value of what do these days mean? Why are these days of the Hijjah so important, so blessed? Why are the ulama stressing upon it, emphasizing that we draw benefit from these 10 days of the Hijjah? What makes them so beloved to Allah? We're going to learn more about that and share with you some ways, some tips on how you can spend the days of Dhul Hijjah. I'll also be sharing with you a good deeds checklist. And that's basically a small little timetable, if we could call it that, and how to spend these days of Dhul Hijjah. Most parts of the world, today is the third of Dhul Hijjah already. And here in Malaysia, where the program is coming to you live, it's already close on to Isha time, so we're into the fourth of the Hijjah almost here in Malaysia. And then going back to our theme of the last few months, where in Ramadan we began a theme on one of the most illustrious women who ever lived, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. In following from our previous theme on Khadija radiallahu anha, and each week we look at a different aspect of her personality, of the lifestyle of Aisha radiallahu anha. We explore the ahadith, we seek to understand them, we seek to understand her seerah, her timeline, her historical timeline, to understand the sacrifices that she made, the challenges she faced, and the victories, and they were innumerable, that she had in her lifetime, and the legacy she left behind for us, not only for Muslim women, but Muslim men, women, children, Muslims of all ages and all backgrounds. Her lifestyle is inspiring. And the more we learn about her, we learn that she drew all of her spiritual strength from the Quran and Sunnah. And we've been exploring more about her personality in recent weeks in terms of her generosity and her kindness. And there were two aspects of Aisha radiallahu anha that hold true, hold fast for her throughout her life. And that is her consistency in ibadah in general, and from there, regular fasting. That she would fast so often, and that she would give charity daily and continuously. But today we move on to another topic of great importance and interest. Today we talk about the hijab of Aisha radiallahu anha. What was the hijab like of mother of the believer Aisha binti Abu Bakr radiallahu anha? That's what we'll be discussing on today's program. And as always, I would love to hear from you. The WhatsApp number to stay in touch, +60132608592, via Twitter with the hashtag RIHajj2015, or as we spoke about Aisha radiallahu anha, our hashtag is then hashtag Sahaba. You can also drop me an email to Raihana, R-A-Y-H-A-A-N-A-H @gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. What aspect of Aisha radiallahu anha's akhlaq or her ibadah has inspired you? And in which way has it inspired you? So let's begin right at the start, and that's where we all ask the question is, how do we spend the first 10 days of the Hijjah? So depending on which part of the world you're in, you're either on the second, third, or fourth day, subhanAllah. You know, that is just one of the blessings and the miracles of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this world, the dunya, where someone's, you know, if we look at people in the United States, we find that they're 12 hours behind compared to people in Indonesia or Singapore, Malaysia, and two different days completely, subhanAllah. And then in the middle, you have South Africa and the United Kingdom. So across the world, it is such that while someone is praying Fajr, somewhere else in the world, someone is praying Isha, of the day before or of the next day. So as I speak right now, it is the third of the Hijjah in South Africa, but it's also already the fourth of the Hijjah in Malaysia and the second of the Hijjah in parts of America. So let's go back to understanding why is the Hijjah so important. Why is this month so sacred? So we go to a hadith. This is a primary central hadith that we turn to so that we understand these days of the Hijjah. Narrated Ibn Abbas that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "There are no days on which righteous deeds are more beloved to Allah than these 10 days." They said, meaning the Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, "Not even jihad for the sake of Allah." And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Not even jihad for the sake of Allah, unless a man goes out himself for jihad, taking his wealth with him, and does not come back with anything." And this is mentioned, this hadith, in Sahih al-Bukhari. Subhanallah. So we learn from this hadith that these are the most righteous day, beloved days, and beloved days in which righteous deeds are done. So one thing is that these are days that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that they are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on the believer doing righteous deeds that makes this day beloved as well. And that it is not, even if you compare it to jihad for the sake of Allah, which is something so selfish, that subhanAllah, that even does not equate that. Unless it's someone who goes out in jihad for the sake of Allah, taking his wealth with him, and he doesn't come back with anything. Subhanallah. So here we have a chance to do righteous good deeds, to do deeds that please Allah, to go back and revisit our Ramadan goals, our Ramadan ibadah routine and aspirations, and start implementing them if we haven't as yet. So here's some advice on what you and I can do and how we can make the most and how we can make the best of the days of the Hijjah, inshallah. The first thing, and this is so important, whether it comes to any big days or blessed days or nights, it's important that we go back to the basics and we do what's needed, what's compulsory first. And that's to make sure that you complete all your fard actions. Now, many people rush to complete nafil, right? Optional acts of worship. But always make sure that first you've completed your fard acts, your obligatory acts. In a hadith in al-Bukhari, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned to have said, based on Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that Allah said, in a hadith Qudsi, My servant draws not near to me with anything more beloved by me than the religious duties I have enjoined upon him. So first, if you want to draw close to Allah, you want to be near to Allah, you want to be beloved to Allah, you want to do righteous deeds, start with the fard first. The second thing is fasting. Again, depending on which part of the world you are in, listening in right now, start fasting. Perhaps the day is over in your part of the world, inshallah, tomorrow. Or perhaps you're going to start another new day in a few hours, start fasting, inshallah. There is a hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim that whoever fasts one day for the sake of Allah, Allah will keep his face 70 years distance away from the fire because of it. Inshallah. So remember, let's fast in the month of the Hijjah. Let's keep our fast. It could be your qada fast that you need to fast. Inshallah, the reward of that. But fast, inshallah. You know, many of us, I know there are many of us that say to me, and you've said this to me in your email, some of you are afraid of the heat in whichever part of the world you're in. Some of you are afraid about the cold. If you'll manage, and it's not like Ramadan, subhanAllah, yes. There are no days, there is no month like Ramadan itself. That's a different type of blessing. But there's an immense blessing and sacredness to the month of Al-Hijjah. So please try and fast. And I promise you, as you fast in these days of Al-Hijjah, you feel such a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You feel the barakah of these days. And it inclines you. The fasting naturally inclines you to make more ibadah. It inclines you to say, let me sit down and read another half part of Quran. Or another few more pages. Or let me leave what I'm doing. That can wait. And let me read, make some dhikr. Or let me take some time out and go and give some sadaqah to someone who needs it, right? So the fasting itself is an avenue, an opening for our hearts. And it invites us to start doing more good. Many of us say that, you know, when we fast, we actually feel a sense of calm and spiritual calmness and peace. So subhanAllah, with that comes the opportunity to do more good deeds. Another thing that you can do is to recite takbir. Imam Bukhari mentions in his Sahih that Ibn Umar and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhum used to go out to the marketplace in the first 10 days of the Hijjah and recite the takbir. So again, for women, it's not that we recite it out very loudly, but that we make a habit even in our homes, in our workplaces, to ourselves, amongst our family members, to recite the takbir as well. So proclaim the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Another thing that we can do as well is to meet in gatherings for the sake of Allah. It is narrated from Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out to a circle of his companions and said, "Why are you sitting here?" They said, "We are sitting to remember Allah and praise Him for having guided us to Islam and blessed us with it." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "By Allah, are you only sitting for that purpose?" They said, "By Allah, we are only sitting for that purpose." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I did not ask you to swear because I am accusing you, but Jibreel came to me and told me that Allah was boasting of you to the angels." This hadith is mentioned in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. And so subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was boasting about them to the angels from just one gathering. Another thing that we can do in these days of Dhul-Hijjah is to keep our lips moist with dhikr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith with an authentic chain, "Shall I not tell you of the best of your deeds, the most pleasing of to your sovereign? Those that raise you most in status and that are better than your giving gold and silver or meeting your enemy and you strike their necks and they strike your necks?" They said, "Yes." He said, "Remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Other things that you can do in these great days is to visit the sick. If you know someone who is ill, who is sick, visit them. So increase in all good deeds. Increase in the sunan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a Muslim visits his sick Muslim brother, he is harvesting the fruits of paradise until he returns. This hadith is also mentioned in Sahih Muslim. You can also visit your fellow Muslim or Muslimah just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those that can't visit because of distance, you can message them and ask how they're doing. Make salam. You can uphold the ties of kinship. You can visit your family. And if it's such that your family is far away, then you can message them. Today we have technology. We have no excuse. We have emails and WhatsApps and Viber and all of this that allows us to stay in touch. But do we use that to fulfill the ibadah of upholding the ties of kinship? And if we can do this in these great days, can we imagine the reward that is with us for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allahu Akbar. We're going to go for our first ad break of the hour. When we return, I share with you more ideas on how to make the most of these days of the Hijjah. Stay with us.
Classic Creations long awaited half price, yes, half price abaya sale is now on. Don't miss out. Hurry to Classic Creations, 15 Status Street, Extension 3, Lanesia, or call them on 011-854-4195. That's 011-854-4195. Classic Creations, the ultimate in abayas.
Al Tawheed Islamic Center Kurbani 2015. A grade animals available from 1,500. You may slaughter with us for your own consumption or donate the meat for distribution. We distribute meat parcels to poor and indigenous Muslims at various of our centers across Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and the Northwest. All proceeds will go to upgrade the Wheelers Farm Masjid and Madrasa. Banking details as follows. Standard Bank account number 202-566-889. Branch 015-137. Reference Kurbani. For more information, call 011-854-9510 or visit us at the Trade Route Mall shop number L31 next to Celsius.
Sedgers, situated in Vereeniging, your one-stop family shop. Get up to 35% off youthful, casual and kiddies branded clothing for the lovers of functional art. Try our Carol Boys range. Look in our exquisite furniture and linen department. Tasteful furniture, decor and advice to matching linen and curtains. Treat yourself to the beauty of designer jewelry. Watches, sunglasses, and formal wear to suit your taste. Sedgers, your original family store where personal service is guaranteed.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and all your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Akenhof. Call us on 011-948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-7905.
Radio Islam International together with Bob's Farm brings to you an exciting initiative, Finders Sheepers. Stand a chance to win one of five sheep for your Kurbani. The sheep are at different locations in South Africa. You have to identify them. We will give you three clues every day. The first at 7:30 a.m. The second at 10:45 a.m. The final clue at 6:15 p.m. After every clue is mentioned, lines will be open. If you identify the location correctly, you will win a sheep. The competition will run between the 18th and 23rd of September. Terms and conditions apply.
Hajj, a journey of love. This Sunday, the 20th of September, on the weekly panel discussion, Mufti Yusuf Musaji will host world-renowned orator Maulana Sulaiman Mullah and senior resident Mufti at Radio Islam, Mufti Zubair Bayat. Our esteemed guests will share their Hajj memories and draw lessons for the Muslim Ummah. Tune in between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. You may tweet using the hashtag RIHajj2015.
This is Revival in Motion with Hafida Rayana on Radio Islam International. Stay inspired.
Inspired. And finding ourselves in these days of the Hijjah, the most blessed days, the most sacred of days of the year, we're looking at ways and means in which we can maximize on the benefit and we can invest in our akhirah and gain reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before the break, I shared with you some tips on what we could do and how we can maximize on the ibadah in these days of the Hijjah and the difference we can make in our own lives, because everything we do, all the ibadah we do, is for our own selves. It gives us spiritual wealth and health and contentment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so self-sufficient, completely self-sufficient. Allah al-Ghani wa antum al-Fuqara. Allah is the one who is self-sufficient, and we are the ones in poverty. And it's spiritual poverty. So we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need the barakah of these days. We need to do deeds that bring us closer to Him, inshaAllah. So here's how you can make the most of the Hijjah. Fulfill the fard, whether it's the salah, fasting, reciting takbir, attending dini gatherings, making dhikr, visiting the sick, visiting your Muslim brother or sister, and upholding family ties. But there's also so much more that you can do. Now, many of the things I'm stating to you now are sunan. They're from the prophetic lifestyle, but they're not prescribed specifically for the Hijjah. But the reason we share this with you is because of the hadith we began with at the start, and the hadith that teaches us that there are no days on which righteous deeds are more beloved to Allah than these 10 days. Excuse me. So what we need to be doing is that taking all the good deeds that we know of, and even those we have not known of before, and start doing these deeds, inshallah, and with the barakah of these days that we continue doing them afterwards. The other thing that's so important to do is to recite Qur'an. Recite Qur'an in these days of the Hijjah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us barakah in our time. The other thing that we need to do is to continuously renew our intention to maximize on reward. Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu said, "I seek reward for my sleep just as I seek reward for praying qiyam." And this is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari. Subhanallah. So continuously renew your intention. In this way you maximize on your reward, because just for the intention you get a reward. And when we renew our intention, when we purify our intentions, we are rewarded for that intention, but it also allows us that opportunity to reflect, and if we need to correct that intention, if it has been misguided anyway along the way. The other thing that we need to do is to keep making dua for our brothers and sisters, be it our own blood brothers and sisters, our parents, our family, our in-laws, our community, our neighbors, our colleagues, our employers, employees, the refugees, the ummah at large. So make dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The dua of a person for his Muslim brother in his absence will be answered. At his head there is an angel. And every time he prays for him for something good, the angel who has been appointed to be with him says, 'Ameen, may you have likewise.'" Ameen, wa lakum mithli dhalik. So subhanAllah, you make dua for someone else, and the angel is saying, "May you have the same as well." The other thing that you can do, and again, these are just sunan, they're not specifically prescribed for the Hijjah, but these are sunan. These are from the prophetic lifestyle. And if we do these deeds for the pleasure of Allah, we receive the reward of doing a sunnah, but we also receive the reward of having done these deeds in these great days of the Hijjah. Another thing is to remove harm from the pathway. We know from the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "While a man was walking on the road, he found a thorny branch on the road, so he removed it. Allah appreciated that and forgave him." And it's reported in Sahih Muslim. So removing any obstacle from the pathway. Now I know that there, and of course the last one is the Eid Salah and the Udhiyah, the Qurbani on the day of Eid. Excuse me. Now, I know that many of our sisters who may not be reading in these days, that may be experiencing hayd or nifas, tend to feel disheartened. But I want to remind you that the actions that you can't do are two. That is to pray, salah, and to fast. But all the other actions that I've shared with you, you can do all of them, right? You can do the slaughtering on the day of Eid, the Qurbani. You can make dua for others. You can make dhikr. You can attend Islamic gatherings that are taking place. You can uphold the ties of kinship. Visit your fellow Muslim brother or sister. Visit the sick. You can do all of these actions. So remember also, if you are one of those that are experiencing hayd on ifas at this stage, please don't be disheartened. There is so much of ibadah that you can do. Dua, dhikr, helping others, and helping those that are fasting in these days to prepare for the day of Eid and help lighten the tasks for them, inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those that feed our minds and hearts as we are conscious of feeding our bodies. And that in these days, we try to avoid worldly distraction and technology as much as possible. And that we take advantage of the entire day to do righteous deeds, not just at Fajr, not just before Maghrib or after Asr, but throughout the day, we're looking for the opportunity. We're hunting for the opportunity to do good deeds and to make good use of the day. Again, depending on where you are in the world, for some you're in spring or summer, in other parts of the world it's winter and you feel that your day is much shorter than the rest, but maximize every opportunity, take every moment and make the most of it. But most importantly, you have to ask Allah to bless you and to grant you tawfiq, to grant you success in benefiting from these days. You know, we could have all the intention in the world that I'm going to do this with my act of ibadah, that I'm going to do this in these 10 days. But if we have not made dua to Allah, if we haven't sought the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will it be possible? Allahu Akbar. So I promise to share with you also a checklist, basically of things that you can be doing, and much of it I've shared already. Those of you that would like the timetable, you can drop me a WhatsApp to +60 13 260 8592 or an email to Rayhana, rayhanah@gmail.com. And I'll be sure to send you the checklist. It's a 10-day checklist for the Hijjah. And I know we've already begun the Hijjah. It's not too late. You can follow it through for the next few days. So the one is fasting, sadaqah, good deeds, like helping others, takbir and dhikr, seeking forgiveness, recitation of Qur'an, dua, tahajjud, Nafil Salah, and I would say Qadha Salah for those that have Qadha, renewing the ties of kinship, Dua during the day of Arafah, Qurbani, and Eid Salah. So these are from the Dhul-Hijjah checklist. If you'd like it to be sent to you, it's a very simple layout. You could make your own as well. But I could send it to you, inshallah. The WhatsApp is +60 13 260 8592. Or the email address, Rayhana, rayhanah@gmail.com. It's time for us now to turn our attention to the life and times of one of Islam's greatest individuals, a personality who was distinguished in her morals, in her character, in her striving for the deen itself. We're talking about none other than Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife, the companion, the scholar, mother of the believers. And today, as promised, I look forward to sharing with you more about the hijab of Aisha radiallahu anha. We all make dua, we all seek to want to be like Aisha radiallahu anha, to have the hijab that she had, not only the physical hijab, but also in our character, in our attitude, in our outlook on life. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to follow in her examples, inshaAllah. Now, while Aisha radiallahu anha warned others about hijab, she paid strict attention to it herself. As a wife to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was a mother to all the Muslims. So she behaved very carefully and she kept the distance between herself and men who were not her mahram, meaning between herself and the ghayr mahram. Aisha radiallahu anha would even cover around blind men. One day, Ishaq, a leader of the Tabi'een, came, and Aisha radiallahu anha was behind on the other side of the curtain. And she covered herself. So Ishaq, the Tabi', he was blind, but he found the behavior strange. So he said, "Are you covering in order to protect yourself from me? But I'm not able to see you." And you know what Aisha radiallahu anha's reply was? "It may be true that you are not able to see me, but I can see you." Allahu Akbar. So Aisha radiallahu anha was very particular about her hijab. And as I share with you more about her level of hijab and haya, it's for us to see how can I as an individual improve. I find what's so sad is one of the things we always gossip and backbite about is about the next sister's hijab. Look at how she put her scarf. Look at how her hijab is not right. Look at how she's observing hijab. But what about ourselves? There's always the next level. So if I'm wearing a scarf, am I wearing it correctly? Am I covering the neck, the chest, the shoulders? Is it concealing and covering the shape of my head? If I'm wearing the hijab, what about the rest of my clothing? And if I'm wearing a jilbab or an abaya or a coat or something to cover over, is that long, loose? Is that something that is covering me and fulfilling the requirements of the hijab? So there's always different levels that they are at in hijab. And it's not to say that if I'm wearing hijab, if I'm wearing abaya, if I'm wearing niqab, that alhamdulillah, I'm free from perfection. No, no, no. There's always room for improvement. There's always room for us to be better at the hijab. Because the hijab is an ibadah. It's an act of worship as well. So there's always room for us to perfect that ibadah. Perhaps outwardly the hijab may be close to perfect, but what about our mind, our thoughts? How do we make hijab? How do we approach and how do we apply modesty in our thinking, in our interaction with ghayr mahram? These are all very important points to realize in the concept of what true hijab is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us, first for myself and then for all of you listening as well. Even when making ibadah, even when worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Aisha radiallahu anha did not mix with ghayr mahram. We're going to go for our last break of the hour, and when we return, I'll share with you more about how Aisha radiallahu anha observed hijab even in her ibadah. Stay with us.
Kurbani with Crescent of Hope. Once again, Crescent of Hope brings you Kurbani at affordable prices locally and internationally. And trust us with your Nafl or Wajib Kurbani performed by Ulama and Crescent of Hope members. Excess funds will be utilized for deen activities. Funds will not benefit any individual. Contact Crescent of Hope on 011-852-7370. 137 Rose Avenue, Lanesha. Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spices. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanesia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
When you're after a trusted brand like Toyota, you want the same kind of expertise and reliability you'd expect from one of their top dealerships. Before buying your next Toyota, come in and speak to the professionals at Freeway Toyota. Whether it's a Corolla, Yaris, Auris, or Hilux you're looking for, don't sign up until you've spoken to one of our highly qualified team of sales professionals. We will not only match but beat any written quote. Give us a call or come in for a test drive. 011-661-0000.
True success requires sacrifice. Truly, my prayer and my service of sacrifice, my life and my death, are all for Allah, the cherisher of the worlds. known to the Ummah as Khalilullah, Nabi Ibrahim a.s. was the chosen friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No other prophet had been bestowed with this title, but this honor did not come without innumerable sacrifices. Sacrifice develops our inner spiritual self. It enhances our character, gives meaning and direction to our lives, and above all, it is a testimonial of our love for our Creator. All promises of help from Allah, all assurances of success in this world and rewards in the hereafter have been made conditional upon our acts of sacrifice and patience. Hajj, one of the five pillars of Islam, highlights the sacrifices of Nabi Ibrahim a.s. and his family in their quest to please Almighty Allah. This Zulhijjah, Radio Islam sheds light on the selfless sacrifices of the friend of Allah, Nabi Ibrahim a.s.
You are tuned into Revival in Motion on Radio Islam International.
On the program today, our last segment, and we began the program today talking about Dhul Hijjah. I shared with you a checklist of good deeds that you could be doing in these 10 days, and also what it means to exert ourselves, to be ambitious, to have goals, and what type of religious or dini goals we could have in these days of Dhul Hijjah. You'll find the list of them up on Twitter as well. Also, we then moved on to our second and our last segment for today about Aisha radiallahu anha. Today, we're discussing the hijab of Aisha radiallahu anha. And before the break, I shared with you that she was very particular about the hijab, about covering in front of the blind companions and tabi'een as well. But even in her ibadah, she was very particular about covering in her during the time of ibadah. So it was not that, you know, she was ever neglectful of her hijab, subhanAllah. She was at all times very aware, very conscious of her hijab at all times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us like that. Even when making ibadah, she did not mix with the crowd, and she would make her tawaf at a more peaceful or serene time. Once, when Aisha radiallahu anha was circling the Kaaba, a lady asked her to go together to the Hajri Aswad, you know, the black stone. She said, "Oh, mother of the believers, why do we not kiss or touch the Hajri Aswad?" She wanted to go with Aisha radiallahu anha at that time. So Aisha radiallahu anha told her to stay away at that time and express that it was improper. It was improper for her as a lady to go at that time because of the crowd. So, knowing her cautious ways, people often tried to make her more comfortable when she was making tawaf, and they would clear the area of men, subhanAllah. And the circling area would be prepared for Aisha radiallahu anha in this way. It is said that even when she made the Kaaba and that there weren't men nearby, she would still cover her face, never wanting that any ghayr mahram should see her face. She was very, very meticulous about her hijab at all times, alhamdulillah. Her sensitivity was even reflected in her lectures, in her talks. She allowed everyone to come and benefit from her knowledge, and she had students from every regional area. And her foremost students were her nephews and her relatives. Now, though it was easier for them to visit her home, she would keep a curtain between herself and a ghayr mahram, or distant relatives, and she would teach the lessons from the other side of the curtain. And if she had to interrupt, to say something, to correct something, she would correct the mistakes by signaling with her hands. One of her students, Imam Masruq, said, "I used to hear the noise of her clapping from the other side of the curtain." She would clap the hand once or twice to indicate that there was an error or a correction that the student needed to make. So she was very, very careful with teaching her students and even those who were ghayr mahram. One of her close relatives had a servant named Salim who wanted to learn how to perform wudu. So she taught him how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the wudu and how to perform the wudu. And since he was with her relative, she explained without exposing any part of her body. Allahu Akbar. Aisha radiallahu anha described and lived the example of what it meant to live with hijab in not only the physical dress, but in her actions. To be very careful, to be very particular about her interaction with ghayr mahram, and to ensure that the hijab extended beyond just the physical hijab, but the hijab of the heart, of the tongue, of the actions, of the thoughts. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us this gift in our lives. Wallahi, the gift, the hijab is a gift for us as Muslim women. But even greater is for us to take that gift and realize how precious it is. So let each of us today, in these righteous days of the hijab, reflect. How am I in hijab? I'm not talking only about the physical hijab, the dress itself, the garment itself, the scarf, the shayla. Talking about hijab in our actions, in our interactions in the world. Are we compromising? How are we wearing our hijab? Is it just the physical hijab? What about the hijab of the heart, of the tongue, the words, of the actions? This is very, very important for us to realize. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who realize that the beauty of hijab is both in the physical dress, but also, alhamdulillah, in the way that we interact with others and the ghayr mahram as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the barakah and the blessings of this, inshallah. And may the days of the hijab be days that we pass in barakah, in khayr, in goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who make the most of these days, because really, none of us know if we will ever see these days again. There are those who were with us last year this time, who were looking forward to the day of Arafah. Whether they were on Hajj or not, they were looking forward to the Eid, to the Qurbani, to the Eid Salah. And today, they are not with us. I'm sure many of us can think of loved ones who will not be with us this year for the Hajj or for the Eid itself. And that is life, that we are not given a notification of when we'll be taken. We don't have a notice telling us how many more Eids, how many more Ramadans, how many more the Hijjah we're going to spend on this earth. And that is why it's so important we make the best of this present moment. We don't even know if we're going to live to see Eid, right? Subhanallah. So let's make the most and begin firstly, like I shared with you, before we set out our goal list, our checklist. First, ask Allah to bless you. Ask Allah to grant you tawfiq, to grant you success, to benefit from these days. Wallahi, we can have the health and the iman, we can have the time, we can have the knowledge of all of these acts of ibadah that we can do, of all of the sunnah. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not bless us, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give us the tawfiq to benefit from these days, then we can never fully benefit from them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us all with tawfiq, with success in these days of the Hijjah, days in which we remember Allah abundantly, frequently. The ulama teachers read the third and fourth kalima frequently, recite takbir often, praise Allah, glorify Allah, thank Allah. Until we meet again on Tuesday, inshallah, for a very special Hajj feature that you'll hear more about on Radio Islam, it's Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.